We enter into a section of the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul is in transition between what we have historically called his first missionary journey and what will be his second missionary journey. And honestly, it gets a little tough. There are some hard passages ahead, not so hard in understanding, but honestly, kind of hard emotionally, because Paul's going to go through some really difficult times. And even this morning, his words are going to reflect that there is an element of Christianity, especially a call to ministry, in which suffering takes place. Jesus had even warned the disciples of this, that there would be times when you would suffer because of his name, because of the calling on our lives that drives us into ministry. And it's very rewarding and very fulfilling, but at times it's also very difficult. And we'll see that play out in this next part of Acts. So we're in Acts chapter 14, and I want to talk about one of the better things this morning that I think is evidence in Acts chapter 14, and that is what it means to have a home church. Why it's important to have a home church. And in a very real sense, some of the benefit of having a home church. So if you're a guest with us, let me just say, take a deep breath. I am not going to pressure you. I'm not guilt tripping you. This is not to get you or force you to turn in one of those connect cards that you've been hearing about all through the service and our greeters probably asked you about. It may have held you a pencil point to make sure you filled it out, but it's only because we really do want to know you. We actually legitimately and completely fully mean that. We really want to know you, but I want to talk about home church, not from the standpoint of guilt, like, oh, this is what you've got to do, this is where you need to belong, but honestly, why I believe after this many years as a Christian that having a home church is so critical. And Paul's transition back to the church at Antioch after his first missionary journey is a great example of that. It's a great picture of what that means. I learned this very early in my Christian faith. I became a Christian literally on a Saturday night. The next morning, the guys that had helped me understand what it meant to be a Christian and helped me make that decision called me, said, "We're coming to pick you up. We're going to take you to church." And I had already committed and said, "Okay, whatever a Christian does, that's what I'm going to do. And I guess Christians go to church." I know that sounds maybe kind of remedial, but my early faith was that remedial. I just kind of thought, okay, I'm going to go through this and see what God is going to do. I would say, and this is going to sound like a really radical, dramatic statement, I would say the reason I have been able to maintain my faith all these years is because of my relationship to my home church. Not just the one that I began with, but everyone that's been my home church throughout those years. And that includes today, which is, of course, you. You're my home church today. You've been my home church for 15 years. I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. Hopefully you don't see it changing anytime in the near future. This is a place I feel like I belong. It's where I have friendships. It's where I have mentorships and relationships that help me and encourage me. But I was very blessed, and I don't mean that in a cliche sort of hashtag way. I was very fortunate that in the very beginning of my Christian experience, I was in a home church that immediately embraced me, and I wasn't an easy person to embrace. There was a lot of stuff that had to be dealt with, and I didn't understand anything that was taking place, but they embraced me, and they were patient with me, and they walked me through decisions, and they walked me through things that made sense to everybody, but didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And I did the exact same things most of you are doing. I came to worship services on Sunday morning. I went to Bible study on Sunday morning. Many of you know this because you've heard my testimony over the years. I started off in a college class. Didn't have a clue really what was going on. They were far, much more advanced in their Christian faith than I was. And so I placed myself back, held myself back to second grade Bible study, and began that first year to learn what was taking place and what was happening. Simple things like how you do Lord's Supper, like we did last year, what baptism is. My own baptism took place there. And I was very blessed that the pastor of that church, in that particular instance, he quickly engaged with me, quickly understood that not only was I trying to learn how to be a Christian, but that I was called to ministry and that was going to require some unusual and maybe very specific mentoring, and he took me in and gave me such a great experience in those early years. And in fact, I love that church. I still love that church today. I haven't been back to that church, honestly, in about 30 years because calling has taken me to other places. But in my heart, when I'm reminded of it on times and moments like this, it's such a great experience that I'm just thankful deep in my heart for what those people did and what those early relationships accomplished in my faith and helped me understand. Everything great at that point in my life, my decision to become a Christian, my decision to be baptized, my baptism, later my licensing as a minister, and then after that, my ordination as a minister. I met my wife, at that time my girlfriend, in that church. We were married in that church. But just about everything that great that happened in that period of time happened in the context of that church. In fact, my wife actually helped me understand the importance of home church. Very quickly, just a few months after I became a Christian, I began speaking and being invited to speak in churches and began sharing my testimony and began talking to people about things, began studying the Bible, and later we'd be asked to start with devotions and later ultimately into messages. And so for a while, for a season, I was actually gone most Sundays because I was in another church, which is exciting. I'll just tell you, honestly, it's exciting to be in a new church every Sunday, to meet new people. I like meeting new people, and so I enjoy those venues and those opportunities to meet new people. But that doesn't bring about a solidity in your life if every Sunday you're in a new place and in a new location with new people, and of course you have responsibility, so you're not really absorbing things in that moment of worship as much as you are thinking about what you are needing to do. I met my wife, and we were members of the same home church for nearly a year and had never met, because I was never there on Sundays and she was always there on Sundays. She had a retail job that required her to work on Wednesdays. I was there on Wednesdays, and she was rarely there on Wednesdays. We finally met, actually in a completely different church in a completely different city, but I met her. I looked out into the audience, saw her, decided right then that marriage wasn't as bad of an idea as I had grown up to believe it was, and that maybe I was interested in it, and met her as soon as the service was over with, and then this miraculous thing happened over the next month. It was not interesting to go to other churches any longer. I was fortunate that church was growing very rapidly, out of space, much like it feels here oftentimes on Sundays. The greeters, ushers, and the people helping everybody get into and out of services and everything had become good friends. And one in particular, a deacon in that church, became a good friend. And I'd walk in the door and he'd say, "Okay, Carrie and her family are sitting," and he would give me the right direction. Literally within weeks, I lost all interest in traveling on Sundays. And I went from feeling called to be an evangelist who would constantly travel to being called to be a pastor who was always at home. And I've been doing that for a while now. And it's the same way. I love being at home. I love being at church with my wife. After all these years, it's a little bit different. We rarely get to sit together on Sunday mornings, but I know she's here. I can point directly at her, but as soon as I do that, every one of you are going to turn around and look at her. That's always a little embarrassing and awkward, but she's always here. I can always see her. It's always an encouragement to me. I have not fallen out of love with going to church with my wife, and I'm grateful for that because she helped me understand a very important thing I needed to understand, and that was the importance of having a home base, having a home church. And my experience was just absolutely great. I was mentored there. Matter of fact, I was texted earlier this morning. A lot of my pastor friends get up a lot earlier than I do. I'm not a morning person, and they get up really super early, and they text. I just got to be honest and say, thank God for Do Not Disturb on iOS, so that they're not waking me up when they think I'm praying and I'm sleeping. They're praying, I'm sleeping. That may help understand the message a little bit. But he texted me early this morning and just quoted from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, where it says that as we are firmly rooted in Christ and we grow and we're built up in him, we continue to walk in the relationship we have with Christ. And then he asked me the question, who mentored you? Who stepped into your life in that critical role? And he had no idea I was already planning on sharing some of that with you this morning, but it immediately made me think again of that first pastor who stepped in and was a part of my life, whose messages I listened to every single Sunday. Gosh, that was kind of a flashback. He would eat enchiladas before he came to church. He'd burp always during his message. And then here I just lost my breath in the middle of it too. Some things just carry over even after the years. If that doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. If anything I say this morning doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. I am so thankful for that great home experience. And I think Luke picks up on that in a very insightful way in Acts chapter 14. And that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to look at just a couple of elements. The truth is, this isn't exhaustive. You could come up with a much more exhaustive list. But out of this passage of Scripture, we see some of the really great benefits of having a place we call home. And that is so critical in this generation and in this period of time. Because many of us get our resource and our mentoring and our help from a wide variety of places. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But having a home, having a place that when you stop and think about it, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Is so critical. So Acts chapter 14, verse 21, let me read the whole story to you, and then we'll look at a couple of very specific things. They've been all throughout the Asian area. They are in the process of returning home. In verse 21, Acts 14, verse 21, Luke catches the essence of that trip when he says, after they had preached the gospel in that town, which is a reference to Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, then to Iconium, and to Antioch, which is the church that sent them out. While they were returning, verse 22, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church and prayed with them with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia. They went down to Pamphylia. After they had spoken the word in Perga, they went to Attalia. From there, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended by the grace of God for the work they had now completed. After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a considerable time with the disciples. They've been on this missionary journey, and they've been on this journey about 18 months, and now it's time to go home. And you can almost sense as Luke is charting this course and as Luke is journaling the events that are taking place, that there's an increasing sense of what I would call positive anxiousness or anxiety to get back home and to be with friends and to be with people who love you. It hasn't been an easy trip. In many places, they were rejected. In one of the locations, the Apostle Paul himself was stoned, possibly to the point of death. Luke didn't give us the exact information, so we don't know if he died and was miraculously raised out of that death, or if it just the stoning process had created a faint or a concussion that put him out of commission momentarily. But we know the people of that town that had stoned him literally took him to the edge of town and threw his body out as a carcass to be left before he came back to life and before he came back in and began their trip home. And so it's not been necessarily an easy trip or an easy journey. It's been difficult, and that we pick up on that in his warning that we're going to suffer in our faith. But you can tell they want to get home. What does a home church do for us? One of the most critical things I think a home church does for us is actually in verse 21. As they are returning, all the churches they planted on the way, in each church, they are strengthening, in verse 22, the disciples, and they are encouraging them to continue in their faith. I don't know necessarily how to appropriately say it where it really makes sense if you're outside of the faith. But if you're inside of the faith, you've had this experience before. There is a synergistic, powerful energy and opportunity for God to move in our lives when we are together. God has moved in my life multiple times, profoundly, when I am alone, when I'm at rest, when I'm in quietness. And that's a critical part of our discipleship, our growth, our maturity as a Christian. But typically, that moment that opens uniquely for God's Spirit to move and work in our hearts happens when we're gathered. Here's the most difficult part about a home church. When I'm weak, this is typically the place I don't want to go. Not because I don't think I'll be strengthened. I know I'll be strengthened. But all kinds of other emotions begin to set in. We begin to think about, okay, what the other people will notice. Other people will notice, I'm just out of sorts today. I don't feel good today. My mind's not in the right place. I don't want to be greeted by 17 people. I don't want to be asked by all of my friends, what were you doing this past week? I don't want to deal with those things because my spirit, my soul is in a weakened place. But here's the hard part about that. The fact that I'm in a weakened place and I don't want to be at church is the very reason I need to be at church. Because alone and isolated, very few of us will work through that and find strength. Despondency begets despondency. Discouragement encourages more discouragement. But there is a synergistic moment that happens when we're together and you see familiar faces and you know they care and you know they're concerned and you know they'll pray for you. And you may know some of the other side of that. You may know that while they're praying, they may gossip about you. And you may think to yourself, oh, I don't want everybody knowing all my business. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, I know, that deep in our hearts, that uniqueness of relationship that happens in a corporate atmosphere of worship and Bible study and activity will ultimately strengthen us. God designed us in such a way that we don't and typically can't walk through those dark moments by ourselves. David understood it and acknowledged that God himself as our shepherd walks with us in those darkest moments and in those darkest places. But what we understand and what we can see even in this passage of Scripture, that in those moments, one of the critical roles of the church is to strengthen and to encourage us to continue in our faith. Because our faith is a living, it's an active component in our lives, and it is part of what's working in and through us. And we need strengthening, and we need encouragement. And I personally don't know of any place better to find that than within your home church. I had a recent experience. I was visiting a dear friend of mine, member of this church. They joined the church not too long after I became a pastor of the church. He lost his wife a couple years ago. He's by himself. He's in a nursing home. And he gets isolated. All the physical care he needs is there. Friendships are there. He has a very loving daughter and son-in-law who come by virtually almost every day to see him. In fact, they moved him to a facility that's only about 3 minutes from their house, literally only 3 minutes from their house. They can't physically take care of him. They can't physically meet his needs, and he needs that additional nursing help. I talked to him every once in a while on the phone, and then I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to go by and see him. And as we were visiting together and as we were talking, we sit there together, we watch Gunsmoke together, and which is a common thing for me and the guys in the nursing home. So I know what my future looks like. It's sitting in a nursing home watching Gunsmoke, hoping some young pastor comes by to visit me or some young deacon. That day when I was with him, he just lit up. We had talked about He told me, he said, he literally can't get out of his bed or out of his chair. He needs assistance to move back and forth between those. He can't even get up and go into the common room for dinner or for television or for any kind of recreational activities. He's literally confined to his room. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I still go to church every Sunday. I said, that's great. He said, I'm sorry, it's not your church. He said, I listen to Dr. Ed Young every Sunday morning. I said, I listen to Dr. Ed Young every Sunday night. Ed Young is on, I believe it's 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Ed Young, Winnie Walk, is also on at 11 o'clock on Sunday nights. And so after the baseball game's over with, a lot of times we start to shut down the TV, and Ed Young is preaching. It's a live stream from this morning's service, so whatever Edwin said this morning will be broadcast tonight. I have the opportunity to do it. He was feeding himself as best as he could. But what caused him to light up was when he said, my church was here. Our deacons had gone by on Monday. I'm visiting him on a Wednesday. Our deacons had gone by on Monday and had visited with him and had given him Lord's Supper. First time he's been able to take Lord's Supper in probably over a year. And our deacons were there, and our deacons gave him Lord's Supper. And it happened, it has coincided that week I also came by. Our deacons made that man's week and year. While I was talking to him, his daughter called, and as a lot of older people do, he just put it on speaker, so the three of us ended up talking, and she thanked me profusely. She was so grateful over and over again that our deacons came by and had Lord's Supper with her dad. The next home church he will have is heaven. But on that week, in that moment, his home church was there to strengthen and to encourage, just like the Apostle Paul set these churches up to do, and just like they did, and they did it for him as well as for one another. We need one another. And I know society and culture will try to tell us, no, you don't. And I know particularly, and I don't mean this in any way disparagingly, because I love our state, and I love the history of our state, and I love the character of our state. But if we fail at anything in Texas, it is the idea and concept that we are strong enough by ourselves. I'm just going to tell you, fellow Christians, we're not. If you're attempting to live the Christian life by yourself, you will fail. You will fall. It will not work. We need one another. And a home church strengthens and encourages. I know, I've only done one point, so don't panic if you're looking at the notes right now. That's always a little disconcerting. You all have the notes that you have the exact same notes I've got, and so you know exactly what's going on. I would say if I only said one thing this morning, this one point is the most important part. A home church is uniquely equipped to strengthen and encourage us. A home church will develop leadership. If you're looking at the notes on YouVersion, you can see it there, verse 23. As they appointed elders for them in every church, they prayed with them, they fasted with them, and they committed to the Lord in whom they had believed. It is the nature of a home church to develop leadership. And that leadership is across the board. Every person who volunteers, every person who's a part of what's taking place, every person who leads in some form or another is equally important. And in a home church, we understand that. We understand. Whether it's something as simple as being in a nursing home or being in a hospital and having a deacon come by just to check on you, to pray with you, and to make sure you're doing okay. Or it's as important as having leadership that guides and directs and plans and programs a major worship service for us, like we just came out of the Easter season and all the hours that go into planning all that. Or whether it's a worker who's over in the nursery right now, over in the preschool area, and you entrusted your children, you entrusted your grandchildren to them. Whether it's your Sunday school teacher, whether it's that greeter that asked you to give us your information this morning so that we can have a conversation and so that we can begin to develop that relationship. Every portion and part of leadership is actually absolutely vital in the life of the church. And the church is uniquely designed, and the scriptures teach us this, to develop and to accomplish that leadership so that the strengthening and the encouraging takes place. I would just challenge you. Take a moment this week, and in some form or another, whether it's a social media post or it's an old-fashioned card, thank somebody in that leadership. That home church of mine that I love so dearly, that deacon usher that helped me find wherever Carrie was sitting, she did the same thing back then. Many of you say, I don't know where your wife sits. Nobody knows where my wife sits. She moves every single week. She's in a different place every week. And probably you met her and didn't even know, realize you were meeting her. And so, which is why I'm going to post her picture up there or anything. You're just going to have to guess. You can pick up books in the bookstore. What's the guy's name? Waldo? Where's Waldo? At First Baptist Church. You can go, where's Carrie? You can look around. Find her. That deacon who helped me, every Sunday find her. Well, I can't thank him now. Because the next time I'm able to communicate with him is in heaven. I should have thanked him. Because it not only made my life more meaningful on those Sundays, but it made my life what it is today, because I wouldn't be what I am today without her, and it wouldn't have happened. And he was a critical component in that. That pastor that was so special, meant so much to me, invited me into his house and into his home and spent so much time with me, he's in heaven. You live long enough, most of the people who mentored us are gone. And we will see them again. But I want to challenge you now. There is somebody who helps you, teaches you. Just thank them. Just acknowledge how important and how significant they are to you. Just make that point. Because that's a part of the leadership. And every leader is valuable and significant and important.